NWP Radio.
You're listening to NWP Radio, a production of the National Writing Project.
NWP.
Welcome, listeners. This is NWP Radio, a production of the National Writing Project. Today is September 11th, and we are talking about how we support youth to use writing as a tool to advocate for a better world with teachers literally around the world. I'm your host, Tanya Baker, at the NWP in Berkeley, California. And I'm so excited to welcome my friend and colleague, Bryn Oram, co-director of the Greater Madison Writing Project, and Sadaf Khan, English supervisor and IB teacher at TNS Beacon House in Lahore, Pakistan. Let's start, if it's okay with you, by having you each tell me a little bit about yourself. Like, what is your history in teaching or in education?
Okay, thank you, Tanya, for your lovely introductions. I'm so excited to be here. I think my teaching history, it would be going back at least two decades. I was in Sydney for 9 years, and so teaching there and studying there for most of those years. And I've been in Pakistan for the last 9 years as well. And I'm teaching at TNS Beacon House, which is the new school, since 2014. And it's 5 years now since I've been here.
Mm. And Bryn?
Thanks for having us, Tanya. This is really exciting. I am currently working for the Greater Madison Writing Project in the School of Education Office of Professional Learning and Community Engagement at UW-Madison. And I have been a member of the Greater Madison Writing Project since its beginning 10 years ago. Prior to working full-time for the Writing Project, I have been a high school English teacher for 12 years working in Wisconsin schools.
Excellent. And I think you've both said what you're doing now, so I'm going to ask you this question. If you were not talking to me right now, what would you be doing on a typical Wednesday or Thursday at this time?
Okay, it's 8 p.m. in Lahore, Tanya, and I'm almost shutting down after my long work from home schedule. And my husband and family are having dinner. I've just finished it with them. And so I'm resting now and closing the day.
Excellent. And Bryn?
So for me, it is 10 a.m. On Wednesday, and I would be working with the other co-director of the Greater Madison Writing Project, Mark J. Jeets. We are wrapping up our summer PD and youth work, so it's like a cleanup crew of all the stuff we didn't get to during the summer, and also planning for a school year that's going to be a really strange one, trying to be flexible and work with lots of schools doing lots of different things.
Yeah, it seems like we're all in for a wild ride, doesn't it?
Yeah.
We are here tonight, really today, this morning, whatever time it is, to talk about Rise Up and Write. So Bryn, could you tell us a little bit about Rise Up and Write?
Yeah. So when I came to work for the Greater Madison Writing Project, one of the sort of inaugural projects that I picked up was a youth advocacy writing summer camp that we received grant funds to start in 2017. And it came together really quickly with a group of amazing educators from our site. 16 students, and we launched the first summer session, which was 2 weeks in 2017 on campus in a little computer lab in a library at UW-Madison. We really wanted to work with students who were interested in a variety of different social issues, and the goal was to help them see how they could use writing to create change for things that really mattered to them. So each of the students came in with a topic that they cared about. And then we had created a sort of series of activities. We weren't sure how things were gonna work out that first year. It's like teaching a class for the first time. And so we did a variety of things from mental modeling, different ways to think about big issues and to think about audiences. a lot of research activities to become really well informed on these topics. And ways of thinking about writing as really action-oriented. So it was important to us that students were moving beyond just asking people to get informed. And that we were also helping students really write with a sort of future-oriented perspective to say, like, there's we can do better, and here's how we get here. And so really from a very sort of positive and assets-based perspective, thinking about how do we invite people into caring about these issues and joining us in the work that matters. It got to the end of 2 weeks, and as a new full-time writing project person and somebody who's just made this summer camp, that it seemed like it was really successful. We got to the end of the 2 weeks, and the kids were like, okay, well, what's next? What are we doing next year? What are we doing this year? What are we doing beyond this? And I was like, uh-oh. I thought I just made like a fun summer camp for a couple of years. And it was quite clear that they didn't want to stop. And then in their reflections about the summer experience, it was also really clear that it meant a lot more to them, that it had really changed the way they thought about themselves as writers and as young activists, and it had changed the way they thought about the world. And I think all myself and my co-facilitators were pleasantly surprised and really excited to know that we had inadvertently started something that really had a lot of potential for growth beyond just that first two-week session.
And I know in your place it has grown a lot, but also suddenly it's around the world. Sadaf, how did you find Bryn and this curriculum that she had built, that they had built?
Okay, so, you know, I think it was Mark Childs who was our fairy godmother, because I met him in this DP online training for language and literature. And so we were discussing different things, and he said, why don't you talk to Bryn? You're interested in empowering youth voices, you're interested in advocacy. And so he just gave me her email. And I think it was somewhere in August that I emailed her. I said, I just became the head of the department, so I was curious to, you know, start something that would be something I could do across my department from grade 6 to 10. And also, and we've got this, those of you familiar with the IBDP and the IBMYB program, it kind of encourages a lot of community action and service. It is, you know, focused on community service, community projects, personal projects, interdisciplinary learning. So in a way, I was quite familiar with, you know, coming up with my own curriculum. There's a framework that the IB offers you. There's no curriculum as such. So because we've been free birds for quite some time, we've been, you know, hopping here and there, experimenting with a lot of things. I thought this would be the perfect opportunity to find someone, you know, who resonates with me. Because to be very honest, there's pen pals and there's lots of other collaboration opportunities. I think apart from Bryn, I hadn't really picked up on anyone who was actually talking about advocacy. Actually for teenagers, you see? And that is a time when, like Bryn just said, you know, they find out about themselves and they find out about their world, and they're making sense of it for the first time as teenagers. And they're so passionate and they're so sincere in their, you know, desire to do something, that I thought that this was a perfect opportunity for us to, you know, offer this to our students. And so when I found her, we met her on September 11th. So that's a happy anniversary. Writing a different history. You know, so I was really happy. You see, Pakistan has different problems. And the interesting part about it is that while we have a lot of international models, you know, with the UN SDG goals, and you've got a lot of international organizations that we introduce our children to with models and everything, when it comes to actually applying those models into your own home ground, you know, where the reality is that it is a third world country where it has many problems and where advocacy is not always the safest way forward, then how do you negotiate? How do you make sure that the children are actually learning, the children are actually advocating something they're passionate about, and that you're not going to, you know, let them down as they go along that path? And so it's been like a, I would say it's been like a bittersweet experience, to be honest, for me, finding Brin. And I think I'll leave it at that.
So do you want to tell us a little bit more about Lahore and teaching in this space?
In Lahore. So like I said, we're used to creating different kind of units and creative experiences. Some of the advocacy, we didn't, like Brin just mentioned, she opened it up to 16 students. And I'm sure that the educators are putting in a lot of effort. And I remember she told me they, you know, found out what the issues were and then they curated resources around it. We did not have that luxury or that time to do that. And so we jumped into it. And not did I only jump into it, I took my whole department with me and we, you know, opened it up from grade 6 to 10. Okay, and so you've got around 90 kids in each grade. And so we are opening it up. And we kind of, so that was in itself a monster to deal with. However, was that all of our teachers suddenly were engaged on different levels, you know, with advocacy. And so, and we are all contributing and developing and creating resources. And we made Padlets and we used all of those. And so it was such an interesting coming together of ideas and strategies and resources that was really empowering. Having said that, in Lahore, if you look at, we had pollution at that time. And so we were looked at air pollution. Then we looked at child labor. There's a lot of issues with reference to child labor. There's a lot of issues with reference to child marriages. Children were very interested in that. It was interesting what they came up with. And so just to investigate those issues, look at the different stakeholders that are involved, you know, it really allowed our children to, you know, write those articles, the feature articles, editorials, news, writing letters to the editor. We did speeches. We did, in every grade, we had a different text. And so what we were doing is that while all English teachers across the globe are expected to teach the, you know, the non-literary text, the language, news, media text, we were doing it in the framework of advocacy. And we were doing it in the framework of something that mattered to the children. And so the research that was coming in, the different voices that they were bringing, it was so much more vibrant and alive. And it was so much more purposeful. And therefore, I think it was holistic learning. You see, I think as our school, you know, the framework demands that there's holistic learning, there is international mindedness. And there is, you're advocating to take guardianship of the planet. Mm-hmm. And so in that context, I felt very, you see those pictures of two hands wrapping the world around, I thought I was holding Brin's hand from one side and she was holding mine from the other. And we had this between us. It was so, I think I've enjoyed that bonding and knowing that somebody across the planet is going to think about the same issues that I'm thinking of. I would like to share a story though. So, you know, when you jump into such things, you do come across children. A lot of our children actually do research. They're picking up a lot of media. And so my concern was that when they looked at gender empowerment, the Me Too movement was flourishing at that time. A lot of children came up with a lot of texts, and which I found was so influenced by social media that I was worried that they were not positive activism. You know, they were like kind of, propounding what they were actually advocating against. Mm-hmm. And so I called up frantically Brin and I said, what am I supposed to do? And she was like, no. This is what we have to teach them. You know, one of the things that distinguishes her from others is that advocacy has to be done with positive vibes. You can't advocate violence and you can't justify it ever. So, and that is why I think that her whole framework and the spirit that she brings to it kind of resonated with mine in that context, that you have to do it with vision and you've got to create a vision that is positive.
Bryn, I've been so excited by Sadaf's explanation of the work and moving from a 16-person summer camp to 300 kids doing this kind of work in school. And I'm watching your face watch too and nodding. And I'm just wondering what you want to say in response to Sadaf's. I mean, I know you know it. I know you both have wrapped your arms around the globe, which makes me feel so much better these times to think of you both on opposite sides of the world with your hands around the globe. But what resonates when you hear Sadaf talk about this work and what it looks like in Pakistan?
Yeah, I mean, there's like obviously so many things that are really, really exciting about it. I think a couple of things that feel really important to me are that it's really like teaching is really hard and it's very easy to see things that are different about contexts and say, oh, I can't do this because of this, or this won't work because of this. And our contexts are very different in many ways. Mm-hmm. I have a summer camp with, a high ratio of teachers to students. Students are choosing to come into this. There's a lot that's very different about that. But it doesn't mean that there aren't things that can still translate. And I think that our willingness to say, like, this looks meaningful. How can I make it work in my place? And I think that's what was really rich about our collaboration, is that our contexts were very different and will remain to be. But we still were able to collaborate on problems of practice, and issues show up in different ways in different places. And I've learned so much from Sadaf about the work and about what it means to do advocacy work. I have my experiences, but I don't know everything there is to know about this. So by working together, I learned so much more from her, and so much more about the world and what it means to really empower young people to have voice on issues that matter in different places means very different things. In Madison, Wisconsin, it's really highly celebrated. And, you know, the more sort of progressive things students are advocating for is more celebrated. And I remember one conversation we had where Sadaf said, you know, there were just recently journalists who were disappeared because they were writing about this. So definitely can't have my students writing about this. And I was like, wow, that's a huge reality check for me. And also reminds me how important it is and how vital it is that Sadaf is willing to do this work safely with students, so that, because it would be quite easy for someone to say, well, it's just not safe, and so we're just not going to do it. But I think the opportunity to bring students into rigorous academic work around issues that matter to them and impact their lives, and give them the tools and pathways to have voice on those issues is like, I mean, it makes the work so much more meaningful. It honors the students who are coming in and really lets us, like, as educators, work with them as partners to support the learning that they are passionate about and want to do. And I think, like Sadaf mentioned, I mean, she's doing this in an IB school. And you can do this in places where you have lots of other standards and frameworks and things. I think that this is really a testament to showing that, like, anyone can do this anywhere, and it really matters. It's very important for students to grow up knowing that they have important things to say and to know how to have access and agency to say those things.
I would jump in and say, I think that hearing the two of you talk about the work certainly shows that it can be adapted and done anywhere, but I'm not sure if it shows that anyone can do it, because one of the things I'm struck by is a sort of action-oriented positivity and future-orientedness that you share, and that makes you say, when you come up against a struggle, oh, let me call my friend and work through this problem of practice, not, oh, see, it doesn't work here. So there's this all of these things you said, that you made a curriculum that it did these things for young people, it seems, are, you know, these are sort of baseline attitudes and beliefs about kids and about writing and about the world that seem to be necessary to make the work work either in Madison or Lahore. Sadaf, I know Bryn's already named some significant challenges. You have also named some significant challenges to doing this work in your place. Did you come up against other challenges?
I think one of the biggest challenges, like I was telling Bryn, is that, okay, we did create an Instagram page for our students to share their work, but then we realized that we do not have community newspapers like Bryn wanted to publish. And she said that we do have community newspapers in which children would love to see their work being published. And so because I looked around and I was suddenly struck with the fact that we don't have newspapers for young people. Or young youth voices, we don't get, they're not being published. And so what we did was we created our own TNS Rise Up and Write magazine, a website. It was, you know, Corona and pandemic has just struck us. And so we were like, okay, this is the best time to do it. The kids are ready to focus and hone in. So I was already doing this with my MYP and my teachers. And so I took this up with my DP students then as their CAS project, which is, you know, creativity, action, and service. And I said, okay, let's do this as our first magazine. And so that was in itself a challenge as well. But how to put work up, then the question of, okay, miss, do we put this, do we publish this? Do we not publish this? Mm. And so I just realized how freedom of speech is such a difficult concept to grasp when it comes to publishing. And what is to be published and what is not to be published? What is responsible publishing? The message that is going across is you know, that is something that we really need to think about when you're advocating a cause. And I think one of those were some of the biggest challenges. Another thing which was happening while this was going on, and we're juggling these balls anyway, in comes Mohsen Hamid. He's an international writer and author as well. And he comes in with his framework of giving students the permission to write. So I said, okay, let me try to put his framework into Bryn's framework. And so I said, okay, we are going to give permission to all our students to advocate whatever they want. And you know, the moment you say that, again, you've opened up conversations that you yourself are not prepared to handle. And so it's such a vulnerable space and an exciting one. But and so the challenges that come with vulnerability, you know, are have their own learnings and lessons to teach you. And I think that is why it has been such a bittersweet affair, like I said, that you learn so many lessons of what you cannot do, or what you need to push through, or what you need to go back and work on, so that this, there's a, you know, a pathway that is created for this to happen. So it has really turned my whole world around in many ways of how I teach and how do I plan my curriculum to support advocacy as a, you know, as a really, and it's an initiative that really matters.
I feel like that description, then you've opened the door to something you're not prepared for. You yourself are not prepared for. It's like the study of every major decision I tried out in my classroom when I was in the classroom. Like, oh yeah, I didn't know that was going to happen. Yes. So given that, Sadaf, tell us why it's worth it. What are some of the successes of the program in Pakistan that you're particularly proud of?
Look, I think some of the successes are this, that the one thing that comes out of getting involved in, I was listening to this podcast by Hidden Brain, in which they were talking about creativity and diversity. And so they were talking about how the more diverse cultures that you engage with, the more creative you become. Mm-hmm. So it was really interesting, because once we started doing advocacy, we came across advocacy, you know, we were writing for the news, it was factual, it was non-literary. We started to think about how it could be if we were advocating through art and literature. Mm-hmm. And so we we came across this idea of ad book creation. And that, I think, has been something that has been a success for personally for my evolution, I would say, in the sense of just understanding how, children have just, we've just had a competition kind of an event, and children have, made posters and poetry and short stories and even a film on mental health. One of the students, if you look up at our Instagram page on the website, on ad book create page, you find those, the winners there. And you see that there's so much potential in teaching advocacy through the news, in teaching advocacy through literature and art, that, I think it's kind of enveloped my whole, I would say, philosophy of teaching. And that's a personal goal or a personal growth for me. Apart from this, I think my whole department, we as a team, are now going to do Rise Up and Write every year now. With our students. And so it's going to be something different. We're going to experiment. And so it's going to grow. And I think anything that is of value is something that grows. So like Jack's beanstalk, now we are hoping that these magic beans are going to grow in the way that students are going to take it with them, so that the education that I didn't have as a child of what to advocate and why to advocate and how to do so is something that at least we're planting the seeds in our children, so that they become at least, older, that they will be able to at least know what the values and the issues that they need to fight for. And I think those seeds are my success.
That is lovely. And Bryn, you must have some thoughts about that. I mean, this metaphor of the magic beans feels really appropriate to me. I wonder if we could just start, what were the magic beans for you? Where did this, how did you get started with Rise Up and Write?
So in a literal way, Rise Up and Write started because Greater Madison Writing Project was granted money to begin the work with. It was a 2-year grant to do youth advocacy writing. And, these grants are never like a ton of money, right? But they allow you to get started. And we built off of a history of youth writing camps that were successful on our site. So we started from a good framework. I was lucky to be able to build a really good team of very thoughtful educators. The grant funding allowed me to take time to learn more about writing and advocacy work and what that looks like. It was also a very convenient time of youth advocacy was really booming in the United States, and people were starting to listen to young people mm-hmm. in ways that they hadn't before. And so there was lots of interest amongst youth to find different ways to be engaged and involved. And so I really looked to a lot of what were young people doing in the world that was working? What were the adults doing that was helping to support them and to partner with them in that work? And where are the spaces and places where we can help young people access tools, build networks, and have audiences to be heard? So that, those little, that time, that research, those little seeds, trying things out and continuing to learn from other folks has really helped the work grow here. We started with one session and have grown to offer lots of different kinds of sessions focused on students writing about environmental issues specifically, or human rights issues. We had hoped to run some new camps this summer, but the pandemic has pushed those back, not forever, just for a bit. But we were also, it's funny that this has been Sadaf's path, because we were looking at an art and advocacy session and also a mathematical activism, looking at how we use and share data in different formats. So that we can really equip students with lots of different tools and mediums and ways of communicating. We take a really broad definition to what writing means, because it needs to be broad, and we need to reach different people in different ways and help kids think really creatively about that. So You know, and then when you share your work, it grows and you learn more and it gets bigger. And I think sometimes people are really tentative to ask for like, oh, can you share that with me? Or can we talk about this? There's also a lot of, I think, sharing in the education world that is like, let me share this Google folder with you. And it's like, great, I have a 100 full of, I'm sure, amazing ideas, but it takes more than that to really know and do this work. And so I shared a bunch of Google folders with Sadaf, but we also kept talking and meeting and sharing questions and ideas. And I think that really is where the growth lies. And of course, that takes time and energy. But I think the reality of work like this is that we want to see it grow. And so I want to share it widely and help continue creating new ideas and new frameworks and new opportunities for young people to learn to write in these ways.
Just going to remind you, Bryn, you just said that on the radio to it's so true. Many people.
Yeah. Happy to share.
Sadaf, it seemed like you were going to jump in.
Sorry, I just wanted to say I'm really grateful that Bryn did share, because you see, you've got so many teachers pay teachers and you've got lots of stuff there that you have to buy. And so when I asked her for it, and there she sent me everything and the curriculum and, you know, the ecological models, the research, the layout and the framework of the whole curriculum that she's designed, it really is something that I think over the years we're going to be, you know, using it to its full value. So I'm really grateful for that. And I think I'm really excited about this mathematical activism, Bryn.
Me too.
That could be our next agenda, and science as well. It could be interesting, wouldn't it?
Oh, we all can't wait for that. Before we talk about what's next, Bryn, you've already said this, but I feel like I want to emphasize it here before we talk about the future, which is, in that first summer, what did you hope would happen? What were your hopes for Rise Up and Write?
Honestly, before the like last day when the kids were like, we're not done, so you better keep planning things. they like demanded it. And I was like, no, we're done. This is the last day. I'm really tired. I was like, I don't know what's going to happen. Like, let's have a great summer camp. Let's have a fun time. Let's write some stuff. And it's kind of, it's silly because I grew up going to summer camps. I know how much they matter. And in hindsight, I don't know why I didn't think that it was going to mean more to the kids than I thought it would. I thought it would just be a fun 2 weeks and then we would be done. And that year, they insisted that we meet monthly, and they came.
I remember that actually. Like, what happened?
You guys still want to hang out with me, but let's do it. Let's do some writing together. What are you working on? You know, in that year, there were walkouts and protests, and I saw those kids taking leadership roles and organizing their peers and their students, and continuing to write for change. And I was like, oh boy, we started something bigger than just a cute little summer camp experience. In some ways it was surprising, but it's very welcomed surprise. Yeah. I'm in touch with a lot of students from that first summer, and to have seen where they've grown, and how this work has influenced the way they think about the world is just really incredible. And I think it goes to show too, like giving young people these opportunities has a huge impact that lasts in ways that really matter for them.
Yeah. And for all of us, I think, given the world we're living in right now, it seems really important.
Yes.
So you took a tiny seed, you made a summer camp that might have been cute, that turned out to be life-changing. Sadaf was like, oh, I could use some of those seeds. Now you have this giant Jack's beanstalk. I think that's correct. What's next?
So for us in Madison, we, like I said, we had hoped to do some different issue specific or medium specific work that has been postponed until next summer. But we are, by bringing in different teachers, so bringing in math teachers and science teachers, they think about how it works in their own way, and they've designed new ways of doing Rise Up and Write. So we're really excited about that. We've also had awesome opportunities to partner with a local art studio to run the art session, and our arboretum in town to run an environment session. So one of the things I really like about the work is it helps young people build a network. When we bring in guest speakers, when we host sessions in other locations, and it helps those people in those locations get to know a group of really cool young people. So we will continue expanding and reaching out in those ways to build the work that way. We also are working on, I haven't even told Sadaf this yet, but we're going to apply for a Stevens Initiative grant that will host an international virtual exchange experience. So I'm thinking of this work with Sadaf as sort of a pilot for what can hopefully become an international Rise Up and Write sort of experience for educators to come together from different countries and work together as educators, and then have a parallel experience for their young people from around the world. And this is something we haven't gotten to do specifically yet, is to bring our young people together. For as powerful as this collaboration has been for us, I think it would be just incredible for our students to be able to work together and write together and learn about each other's places and work. So we're really hopeful that we have a good proposal for that grant application, and hope that we can build something even bigger moving forward. So that's what we're working on in Madison. What's next for you, Sadaf?
I think I love this idea, Brynn. Personally, I think I would love to be a part of this international virtual exchange, because I don't think we've actually, learned the process or in the kind of, or trained, we haven't trained in the way that perhaps we would make us more effective. And so I would love to, have any kind of professional development with reference to this as well for my teachers and for myself. So that would, make us do a better job of it, number one. What's next is that we're using Rise Up and Write for a lot of, as a platform for a lot of events and a lot of, English department related activities. So for example, we might have debates, and even the children in my DP program started talking about this. Why don't we debate this issue that we are advocating in our school debates or something? And so you see, I'm just looking at some of the ways in which, water flows from one end to the other and how things are going to move forward. I don't know how much of it is going to be what I have planned, but I think this has a plan of its own. And I think that is what is important, that whatever you're investing in, is it worth it? Is it important? And I think as long as it is, wherever it takes me, I'm ready to go.
That's lovely. Before we go, Sadaf and Brynn, would you offer our audiences any advice about international collaboration?
I think the hardest part is working out the time differences.
Time zones.
And once you get that figured out, it's not hard. I think especially, we've all sort of learned this during the pandemic, right? That we can do great work over Zoom and Google Docs and sharing things. So it's really no different than working with, teachers who live down the road as it is working with Sadaf, who's on the other side of the world. It's really not hard, and there's so much to be gained and so much to be learned. And it's beautiful to see work grow and transfer. I thought a lot about my little classroom that we started in, and I imagine Sadaf's classroom, and it's exciting to see that when you share and when you collaborate, that those little classrooms really aren't that far away, even though they are, but it doesn't they are.
I think it's very important when you're collaborating with someone is that first of all, you have to find the people with whom you can grow. And you have a similar mindset, you have a similar ethics, a similar, I guess, philosophy. And I think once you find them, you've got to build it up. Okay, so I would think that collaboration should be something that grows and helps you both evolve. And because it's very rare that you find people who are ready to match pace with you or who are ready to invest as much into that project as you are passionate about it. And so I think whenever you do, I think you shouldn't, you should be, if you want to take off, then you should be ready for the long flight and then you build it up. So I think international collaboration, look, I've grown as an educator myself. I've found what I am passionate about. I'm passionate about social emotional learning. I found people in Australia who resonate with me and, you know, who I'm doing things with in that context. And I think that whenever I found those people, it makes me find out, coming back to what we want the kids to find out, it makes me find out more about myself and what do I want to do. And so as we grow, it's we don't have so much time. And so the time that we do have, I think it should be spent well with those who are ready to spend it with us for something valuable.
Oh my gosh, that's beautiful and very good life advice, I think. Brynn, you know that many of our listeners will be writing project site teachers and directors. So I feel like we should close with any advice you would offer to writing projects that comes out of this work.
Well, first of all, we're definitely reach out. I'm happy to share our work with anyone who is interested. Additionally, I think that there's lots of spaces where advocacy writing can live. It can live in a summer camp. If you do summer camps and you have a framework and formats that you can build off of, that's a great place to start. And it can be a great professional development experience for teachers to run those summer camps. And it's a way for them to practice things that they can't necessarily do in their classroom, or it's maybe that they can do in their classroom just in a different way. But lead with what you have, and where there are pockets of excited and engaged educators around that work. I mean, Rise from Rank isn't just me. It is a team of very dedicated educators. And so the people who are passionate and excited about this and want to come in and try it out and help you learn and see it grow, and then take it into their classrooms that's a great place to do it. But if you don't do youth camps, it doesn't mean that it can't show up in a classroom. I think it's really important for teachers to be Rise Up and Writers themselves. There's lots of important work that we need to be advocating for ourselves, for our profession, for our students, for our community, especially right now. And it is work that really is inspiring and empowering and feels good. So please reach out if there's anything we can do to help you get started. We're happy to share our experiences and excited to learn from other people who are interested in doing the work.
Thank you both so much. Sadaf, I know it's probably bedtime or something like that for you. Brynn and I are just starting our days. I am really glad to start my day with this conversation. I'm sure it will buoy me up all day. And thanks for the work you're putting out in the world, and thanks for taking the time today to talk to me about it.
Thank you, Tanya.
Thank you. A pleasure.
You're listening to NWP Radio, a production of the National Writing Project. NWP. NWP Radio.